Renee Zegras. In May 2020, Hertz Global Holdings filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, obliterating nearly $3 billion in shareholder value overnight. The company that put America on wheels through rental cars, that operated in 150 countries, that managed a fleet of over 500,000 vehicles, simply ran out of cash. But here's what almost nobody noticed in the headlines. This wasn't just another pandemic casualty. The seeds of Hertz's collapse were planted 13 years earlier in December 2005, when three of the world's most sophisticated private equity firms bought the company for $15 billion in what was then one of the largest leverage buyouts in history. The Carlyle Group, Clayton, Dubilier & Rice, and Merrill Lynch Global Private Equity engineered a transaction so aggressive, so loaded with debt, that it fundamentally altered what Hertz could become. The mystery isn't why Hertz failed during a pandemic when travel stopped. The mystery is why nobody in 2005 saw that this deal had already broken the company's future. This is the story of how the smartest money managers in finance bought a perfectly functional business and loaded it with so much borrowed money that it could never survive an unexpected shock. And how that shock, when it finally came 15 years later, revealed a business model that had been hollowed out from the inside. December 21st, 2005. The Carlyle Group, one of the most politically connected private equity firms in the world, announced it was leading a consortium to take Hertz private for $15 billion. Clayton, Dubilier & Rice and Merrill Lynch Global Private Equity joined as partners. The price represented a 24% premium over Hertz's trading price. Wall Street analysts called it fair. Ford Motor Company, which was selling Hertz, celebrated unloading a non-core asset. Hertz management praised the new owner's industry expertise, but buried in the transaction documents was a number that would haunt the company for the next 15 years. $10 billion in new debt. The private equity buyers put up roughly $2 billion in actual equity. They borrowed the rest. Suddenly, a car rental company that generated roughly $8 billion in annual revenue was carrying debt worth more than its entire yearly sales. Why would sophisticated investors saddle an asset-heavy, cyclical, low-margin business with that much leverage? The answer lies in the private equity playbook of the mid-2000s. The theory was simple. Borrow cheap money when interest rates are low. Buy a stable cash-generating business. Cut costs. Improve operations. And either sell the company at a profit or take it public again within 5 to 7 years. Extract management fees and special dividends along the way. If the business performs well, the returns are spectacular because you're multiplying gains on just the equity portion, not the full purchase price. If it doesn't perform, well, the debt is largely the company's problem, not the private equity firm's. Hertz seemed like a safe bet. The brand was 100 years old. It had survived the Great Depression, multiple recessions, oil crises, and the September 11th travel collapse. Rental cars were essential infrastructure for business, travel, and tourism. Revenue was recurring and predictable. The business owned valuable airport concessions and long-term contracts with corporations and insurers. On paper, it looked exactly like the kind of steady, unsexy business that could service massive debt loads without breaking. But there were warning signs embedded in Hertz's business model that the 2005 buyers either ignored or heavily discounted. Car rental is a capital-intensive, asset-heavy business. You must constantly buy new vehicles, maintain them, insure them, and sell them after a year or two of use. Your largest cost is depreciation. Your profit margins are razor thin, often below 5%. You're essentially running a logistics and fleet management operation disguised as a service business. And critically, your revenue is almost entirely dependent on travel volume. When people stop flying or taking vacations, your revenue disappears overnight, but your fixed costs, airport rent, vehicle leases, debt payments, do not. Carlyle and its partners believed they could manage these risks. They planned to reduce Hertz's fleet size, renegotiate supplier contracts, streamline operations, and refinance the debt at favorable rates. David Rubenstein, co-founder of Carlyle, had overseen investments in defense aerospace, telecommunications, and healthcare. The firm had deep relationships with automakers, which would help secure better vehicle pricing. Clayton Dubilier had a reputation for operational turnarounds. The bet was that these efficiencies would generate enough extra cash flow to cover the interest payments and still leave room for profit. For a few years, the bet seemed to work. Between 2006 and 2013, Hertz underwent what private equity firms call operational improvements. Headcount was reduced. Underperforming locations were closed. Technology investments were made to improve fleet utilization and pricing algorithms. In 2006, Hertz completed a public offering, returning to the stock market and allowing Carlyle and its partners to begin monetizing their equity stake while retaining control. Hertz also expanded aggressively. In 2012, it acquired Dollar Thrifty Automotive Group for $2.3 billion, adding two major brands and tens of thousands of vehicles to its fleet. The deal was financed with, surprise, more debt. By the end of 2012, Hertz's long-term debt had swelled to over $14 billion. Revenue grew. The company reported over $10 billion in annual sales. But free cash flow, the actual money left over after operating expenses and capital expenditures, remained anemic. Most years, it barely covered interest payments. Hertz was growing, but it wasn't generating the cushion needed to pay down debt or weather a downturn. Then came the strategic blunders. In 2013, Hertz began investing heavily in its equipment rental division, Hertz Equipment Rental Corporation, or HERC. The idea was to diversify beyond cars into industrial equipment, excavators, forklifts, aerial platforms. It sounded logical. Apply the Hertz brand and operational expertise to a different rental market. But equipment rental is a fundamentally different business. It requires different customer relationships, different maintenance expertise, different sales cycles. Hertz poured billions into Hersey acquisitions and fleet expansion, financed once again with debt. By 2014, cracks were appearing. Hertz disclosed that it was restating its financial results going back to 2011 due to accounting errors related to depreciation and vehicle valuation. The company delayed SEC filings. Its stock price fell. Credit rating agencies downgraded its debt. Investors began questioning whether Hertz's management actually understood its own cost structure. In 2016, Hertz spun off Hersey into a separate public company. The move was framed as unlocking shareholder value, but it also meant Hertz was shedding assets while keeping much of the debt. The core car rental business was left even more leveraged than before. Meanwhile, the competitive landscape was shifting. Traditional rivals like Enterprise and Avis were investing in digital platforms and loyalty programs. Uber and